hello, everybody, and welcome to this special edition of the Pitching In NPL show as we look ahead to Tuesday night's playoff semi-finals in the NPL West, the NPL East, the NPL Midlands Division, and the Northern Premier League Premier Division. And to help us preview Tuesday night's games now, let's welcome back to the show a dear old friend. It's non-league reporter from the great county of Cheshire. It's Andrew Simpson. How are you? Looking forward to Tuesday night?
Yeah, I love this part of the season. It's do or die, isn't it? So there's loads riding on the games. In fact, we'll come on to this. It'll be a theme. There's been a lot of do or die just to get to this position for some of the teams we're going to talk about during this playoff. So it's some of the battles that we've had for the titles, which obviously you guys touched on in the show on Friday, but then also to get into the playoffs and kind of the permutations as they unfolded at the weekend. We've been spoiled in the Northern Premier League this year to have had the excitement that we've had going into the final weekend of the season. And I think you guys have touched on that again a couple of times in the past couple of weeks and on the weekly show of how many games at this time of the season still had something riding on it.
Yeah.
So it's been fantastic, almost irrespective of who you support. There's been kind of some interest in the result, even if it was your opponent. So I've loved all that, and obviously that sets us up now for the next 7 days.
Yeah, and as is the way with this time of year, I've been saying this to James. I've got notes. Very important to have notes for this level of the NPL show this part of the season. Later we
serious
will, of course.
Stuff.
Serious stuff. Later we'll cover off the playoff in the Premier Division, as well as the Midlands and the West. But we will start with the East. First thing to say, big congratulations to Daniel Moore and everyone at Hebburn Town. Commiserations to Michael Dunwell and Stockton Town. At half-time, it was still up in the air, both teams 0-0. But in the end, Hebburn's 2-0 win over Sheffield, despite Stockton winning 4-0 at Belper. It didn't matter. Hebburn Town won the league with that 2-0 win at Sheffield. Quite an achievement, really, for Hebburn. With all the games in hand they had, it's easy to say, oh, yes, you have got the games in hand. It's another thing to put those points on the board the way they have done.
Yeah, you can't really argue. I'm sure Stockton would argue, and they'll be kicking themselves for kind of one result that handed the initiative back to Hebburn, which we'll come on to in a minute. But again, as I touched on during the intro, a fantastic fight for the title. Hebburn, another example of just how strong football, non-league football, has been in the North East in the past few seasons. And I think they'll be a great addition to the Premier Division next season. I mean, all those of us based in the Northwest might be groaning another longer away day, but you can't argue. It's a fantastic achievement, and they should thoroughly enjoy the moment. I'm sure they will.
Yeah, and we'll catch up with Daniel Moore in the normal weekly show later in the week. But let's discuss Stockton. Stockton taking on Carlton Town Tuesday in the playoff semi-final. For Stockton, I mean, it's back-to-back second places. It's just a case of how they take to... I mean, there might have been something in the back of Stockton's mind that Hebburn, with the games in hand, when they got on that little roll that Hebburn went on, there might have been something in the back of the mind that said, well, Hebburn might win this. So might Stockton have prepared for it, do you think?
I think so, yes. Although psychologically, it must still be a blow for them. Obviously, they went into the final weekend still with a chance of winning the title, as you touched on. I also had a look this afternoon. I mean, they were top of the league for nearly 5 months between mid-November and kind of mid-April. And they dropped into second place after losing a game against Winterton that they probably wouldn't have expected to lose. So I think that will have really stung them. To be fair, though, they have recovered well and seem to have composed themselves ready now for the playoffs. And this is not new territory for them. They've reached the playoffs now for the third successive season, although they're kind of bruised by losing in successive finals against Mask and then Longeaton last year on a penalty shootout. So they certainly will be hoping it's third time lucky for them. A theme that will kind of come through, I think, in a lot of these previews is kind of how much will home advantage matter. Well, Stockton do have the best home record in the East Division this season. In fact, they've only lost once on home turf. However, guess who that was against, Ben?
Wow, really? Carlton.
It was against Carlton last month, 2-0. So they'll be wary of that. And of course, Carlton are going to be wary of that. I'm sure we'll come on to them in a second. So, recent memory of missing out in that game. So I think it's a lot about the mindset for Stockton. How do they feel about missing out in first place? How they feel about what's happened in the playoffs in the past couple of seasons? And friend of the show, Mark Ruthers was tweeting about Stockton this weekend and saying, kind of remember the bigger picture for them. They were the Wearside League champions only as far back as 2016, and kind of this journey that they've been on now to establish themselves as a super competitive Northern Premier League team. They're trying to get to the Premier Division for the first time in their history, but the kind of their broader trajectory, whatever happens this week, remains really impressive. But I rather suspect they'll really want to get the job done this time.
Yeah, and just to put it in perspective, I mean, last season, Worksop 68 points last year, Stockton got for finishing second. This year, they got to 80. So that's progress right there. But for Carlton, progress. I mean, fair play to Tommy Brookbanks and Mark Harvey. Last season, they moved over from the Midlands into the East. It was certainly a baptism of fire, finishing 17th. They're acclimatized. They've got to the playoffs for the first time in 12 years and in a very tough league in the East Division. So, like you've already mentioned, I mean, Carlton will be coming into this one in good spirits as well. And for Carlton Town, obviously, they come into the game on back-to-back defeats. However, they got the job done in previous weeks where they were getting consecutive wins, and that's done enough to get Carlton ahead. But when we talk about Carlton Town and promotion out of step four, we have to bring up Tommy Brookbanks, and just a reminder of what he did at Colville Town, of course, back in the 2016 season, getting to the playoffs for the second time running, and then getting past Basford United, and then defeating the much fancied Shore Lane in the final to get Colville Town to step three. So certainly Tommy Brookbanks brings some experience to these pressure situations. Is it going to be enough on Tuesday night? We wait and see. Big good luck to both Stockton and Carlton this Tuesday night. What about Dunstan and Pontefract? First things first, we have to mention about Dunstan because Dunstan have been involved in the title race for a long time as well, just falling short in the last few weeks or so. They've done that just by playing 11 times at home. It's just we've.
Honestly, not to kind of offend any of the other teams that we're going to talk about in this preview, but their story is just unbelievable to have achieved what they have. You're right, because of having to play so many, I think it was eight in the end, home games they played at alternative venues. So basically, this season, they played 38 games and essentially 27, inverted commas, away games, and they still finished third. It's absolutely insane. So almost whatever happens again this week, I'm sure they are, should be immensely, immensely proud. Obviously, they've gone over a little hurdle because they finished sixth in each of the past two seasons. So third time lucky to make the playoffs. I'm sure they'll take inspiration again from some of those Northeast stories. They too try and reach the Premier Division for the first time. But yeah, a truly remarkable achievement. And I just hope they get a really big crowd on Tuesday back at the UTS Stadium to kind of see if they can cheer them on to the final next weekend. But it won't be straightforward, as we'll come on to with Pontefract now.
That does take us to Pontefract Calls, Craig Rouse's side. Been pretty consistent all the way through this. They were 10th
Yes.
last season, got to 49 points. This season, they've got into the playoffs with 7th. I mean, it's been a very strong season by Pontefract Calls, who've been, like I said, there or thereabouts. I mean, there was a question mark at times whether some other teams like Newton Aycliffe or North Ferriby might get in there, or Belper Town. But that in itself has meant that Pontefract have had to work for it this year.
Yeah, and they did. They briefly dropped out of the top five after losing to kind of Yorkshire rival Stocksbridge on Easter Monday. But their response to that has been exactly what Craig Rouse will have wanted to see. In fact, they finished the season unbeaten in their last six games, and five of those have been wins. So they it's that word that we'll use a couple of times tonight, I'm sure, of momentum going into the playoffs. They definitely have it. They have recent history in the playoffs. They reached the final in 2019. And for long-time listeners, that was the super playoff year. So they missed out against Brighouse on the day, but Brighouse were one of the unlucky teams, if you remember, that couldn't get promoted because there weren't enough places that season. So we had a playoff winner that didn't end up going up. But the team that Brighouse beat that day was indeed Pontefract. I think Dunstan are favourites for this, and I'll tell you why. Pontefract have had a kind of a bit of a worrying drop-off in their away form. They've only won one away game since the end of January. So that's something that they'll be concerned about. But of course, in a one-off game, maybe form isn't as much of a guide as it usually is. But just something to keep an eye on. They're kind of underdogs for that reason a little bit, I think, as well. So let's see.
Well, big good luck to both Dunstan and Pontefract Coles on Tuesday night. But it should be an epic playoff battle in the East Division on Tuesday. And of course, we'll pick up the results on Friday night's MPL show as well later in the week. But let's go to the West Division now. And congratulations to Marine. Commiserations to City Liverpool. Marine winning the Liverpool Senior Cup with that cup final earlier in the week. But they might as well have not bothered having the competition this year and just waited for this playoff in the West Division, because this is the Liverpool Senior Cup, isn't it? Well, one calling it Cheshire, but still in the Liverpool City region in a way. Yeah, it's quite remarkable we've got to this point where we've got Prescott, Bootle, Runcorn, Linnets, and City Liverpool all in this player semi-final. Fair play to the hotbed around the Mersey and the Wirral.
It's honestly, it's amazing. I saw somebody posting on social media about that to say what it says about the strength and depth of non-league football in Merseyside, and we're going to come on to Marine shortly there in the promotion playoffs, and just a little bit below us, South Liverpool enjoyed a playoff final success yesterday in the North West Counties League. So it's at the moment, it's the place to be, I think, for competitive non-league football, and we've now got this mini knockout tournament to decide who gets promoted. And as we'll come on to shortly, there's a cigarette paper between them, really. You'd be very, very brave to say it's going to be them. So who do you want to start with?
Well, let's start with Prescott, I think, against Bootle. In the
Yeah.
end, I know Prescott and Linnets were assured a playoff berth on the last Saturday because of City of Liverpool taking on Witton Albion. But it's been close, hasn't it? What
Oh.
order this semi-final would go in. Prescott in the end did finish third, taking on fourth place Bootle. First thing we have to say is, I mean, Steve Daly's done a cracking job, hasn't he? He's got Prescott Cables back to where they were under Brian Richardson 5 or so years ago. You know, they're in the playoffs now.
He deserves enormous credit for the job that they've done. I wouldn't say this is absolutely official, but they're definitely one of the most improved teams in the West Division this season. They've scored 17 more points than they did last year when they finished ninth. And if you remember, Steve didn't come in until the tail end of the season. I think it was February he came in, so he was only there for the latter part of the season. And then obviously they've really kicked on this season. You're right. They've probably kind of known they were going to be in the playoffs for a while, but we shouldn't take that consistency for granted. I checked before, they moved into the top three after beating City of Liverpool on October the 3rd and have stayed there ever since. They've kind of been second for a bit, third for a bit, neck and neck with Linnets. That is remarkable consistency to have stayed where they are. And it's been built on a very solid defence. Only Runcorn, who we'll come on to in a minute, have conceded fewer goals than Prescott, but they still pack a punch at the other end because John Murphy up top has had another really, really good season. They're the only one of the four that have played in the Premier Division previously, but they were relegated some time ago. It was back in 2009, and this is their best placing since they dropped down from Step Three well over a decade ago now. So they're desperate to return. But it won't be easy against Bootle, whose story arc has kind of been completely the opposite, because they've been one of the teams that have had to really work to come from the lower reaches of the table. They were 10th when Mick McGrath was appointed in late September, moving across from Vauxhall Motors. But he lost a load of players in the first couple of weeks, because lots of them went with Dave McNabb to Bury. So they actually lost two of the first three league games and found themselves down in 16th place at one point. The recovery from there has been so, so impressive. And in fact, they'd only lost one of 14 league games before they succumbed to City Liverpool in a feisty derby I saw a couple of weeks ago. And I was a bit worried coming home that night of kind of how they lost that game, because they were bullied a little bit. But full credit to Bootle for how they've responded. They picked up back-to-back wins against Hanley and then Hensford on Saturday to make sure that they finished in fourth position. So they've responded in exactly the way that Mick McGrath will have wanted. It was two pretty tight games between these two in the league this season, and I expect it to be very tight again. One thing Prescott will be very, very wary of, though, is Bootle are the best away team in the West Division, 37 points on the road this season. So they are formidable opponents. They really are.
Just mentioning Mick McGrath as well. I mean, it was quite a masterstroke, I'm going to suggest, for Bootle to get Mick McGrath because of his track record at Vauxhall Motors. And he clearly, he's just continued his experience from his previous club, basically, and brought it to Bootle. So they are ones to watch in this semi-final, aren't they?
Yeah, so impressive. Deserves enormous credit. Yes, he did bring some players from Vauxhall Motors with him, and they've all contributed, likes of Michael Burkey in attack and Sam Hughes in midfield, Sean Smith in defence. But he's blended them with kind of some of these brutal stalwarts that we've been used to watching the past couple of years. Ben Hoggins obviously the standout name, and he's been their leading scorer again. But the likes of Tom Peterson have contributed once again this season. So he's done really well to kind of mix them together into a cohesive unit, and they're strong at both ends of the field. So it's a coin toss between them. And so if you're looking for a game to go to on Tuesday on Merseyside, then you won't go far wrong to go and see them two go at each other.
Yeah, and you should get your tickets in advance, by the way, because they're selling like hotcakes, I believe, at Prescot Cables. So it, and it should be a,
Really?
yeah, it should be a cracking atmosphere as well. Right, let's go to Runcornlin. It's a second place finish. I mean, I remember speaking with Billy Pater last year, and you know, Runcornlin is just getting into the playoffs, you know, taking that momentum into to the playoff finals and missing out in the end. But this year, it's just phenomenal, isn't it? What they've managed to achieve, a second place finish, taking on City of Liverpool. They've had issues with home venue and that in the second part of the season, but Paul McNally deserves plenty of credit as well. So this is an interesting one, and City Liverpool having to work to get into the playoffs in the final Saturday, that might not necessarily be a bad thing, putting him in that frame of mind.
No, I was thinking that full time on Saturday. So those that don't know, I watched City Liverpool draw with Witton Albion. It was basically a winner stays on game, although ironically it finished in a draw, which was enough for City of Liverpool, and their players gave absolutely everything in that game. And I was watching them as they came off, and they looked drained. Paul McNally looked drained. You know, they've had to spend an enormous effort to get to this point, but my God, they dig deep, this group, for each other. And again, some echoes of the Bootle run. I actually covered the league game between these two at Runcorn just before Christmas, and City Liverpool won that day 2-1. They were the better team, deserved the result, but they were still 17th in the table even after picking up the 3 points that day. So again, another example of a team that's really had to put a spurt on during the second half of the season, and their achievements made more impressive by the fact that, in lots of people's opinion, and probably including mine, they actually lost probably the league's best player, Callum Scorer, in January when he went to play football in Australia. But they've just carried on like a machine. In fact, they've only lost one of the past 14 games going into the league games. That is, of course, they played the County Cup final, but for the last 14 league games going into the playoffs. And that was that weird game at Chasetown, which finished 6-4 when they played basically in a wind tunnel. But so it's a remarkable level of consistency that they've had. You touched on their issues of having different home grounds. So I don't think they'll be remotely bothered that they're playing
No.
away and they're going to have to win two away games to get through. So less maybe of an advantage maybe for the home team, because Liverpool don't really care about that. I do want to echo what you said about Billy Painter, because he has delivered Runcornlin its best ever finish. So whatever happens now, this is the highest placing they've had in the National League system. They obviously had playoff disappointment themselves. We touched on a team earlier that's had 2 years running, and Linnets have had the same. They lost in the final against Marine a couple of years ago and against Workington last year. So they know what that feels like. Slightly different this time in that they're hoping to have two home games
Yeah.
to finish the job. And that might be what makes the difference, because they are one of the strongest teams in front of their own supporters. In fact, only Champions League have scored more points at home. So that gives you an idea of how strong Linnets are. They've only lost one home game in 2024. That was against Bootle, though, on March the 9th, another game that I covered. But Billy's big strength this season, he's identified where he's needed to strengthen and made really clever signings. So Ollie Molloy is a name that people will have recognised. He's been amongst the goals this season. And he didn't come until October from Charnock Richard after a good start to the season there. But he's added one or two other pieces. He brought in Kenzie O'Neill on loan from Bamber Bridge, who's contributed. And then even in the last 6 weeks, signed Joe Thompson, a midfielder from Hensford, who started the season at Newcastle Town, and he's been just what they needed in the middle of the field. So Billy's had a great season in the transfer market, I think. And this one, again, like the other one, it's a coin toss between them. Runcorn won the away games. They've got one game each. Again, get down to this one if you're umming and ahhing. This is probably the one I'm going to cover, and I'm really looking forward to it. And I honestly have no clue who's going to win this one.
No, and just to be clear, to Andrew Snaith, if he's listening, those semi-finals there in the West Division playoffs are derbies. So that will th there will be big crowds at both games, that's for sure. And
Very much so, yeah.
a big good luck to all four sides. I mean, we've said it in the past, the West Division has been so competitive this year, an unbelievable tussle to get anywhere close towards the top end of the table. So fair play to these four teams, and a big good luck on Tuesday evening. Let's go to the Midlands Division then, and the playoffs on Tuesday. First thing we have to say, congratulations to Elliot Sandett and everyone at Spalding United. A phenomenal way to to sign off, isn't it? 8 goals past Coleshill Town to
Yes.
seal the league title. Fair play. And we'll catch up with Elliot later in the week as well. But Spalding United, congratulations, being promoted to Step 3. Who's going to join them? Let's go firstly to the team who finished second in the end, Anstey Nomads. They're taking on Quorn. And the thing we have to say here is both teams coming up from the United Counties Premier Division North
Yeah.
last season. It's phenomenal that both have made it into the playoffs, I have to say. Especially at Quorn as well, I have to add, with the circumstances there with the change of manager. But fair play to both clubs.
100%. I mean, they took that particular division by storm, and are both now aiming for back to back promotions, and a variation on the theme we've touched on. All four of the playoffs contenders in the Midlands division are trying to get to step three for the first time. So whatever happens in the next week, we're going to see a little bit of history made. But yeah, these two are familiar foes after going hammer and tong in the United Counties League Premier North last season. There is a greater distance between them this time, and I think this might be one of the biggest distances between playoff contenders, because there was 22 points in the league table between them at the finish. And this is one of the arguments that people make against playoffs, that sort of get, but this is what adds to the jeopardy. I love it. I've kind of been in this position before. I remember in 06-07, Witten finished a similar distance ahead of Buxton but lost to them in the playoff semi-finals. This is the jeopardy. This is why we love it.
This is the problem with teams who come into the playoffs with the idea of that they might have won the league the previous Saturday.
Yes.
And that's where Anstey were. So, you know, there has to be a mindset switch, which is difficult to do. But, you know, Tony Blanchard has proved himself to be a very, very capable manager, hasn't he? So I'm sure they can make that switch. But that is tough.
It's tough to do. And I think briefly, and it was only briefly, when they took the lead against Sutton Coldfield, they were top ever so briefly on Saturday, even though it was in Spalding's hands. There was a brief spell when they took the lead where, if you were doing live updates of the league table, they appeared there. I've mentioned form in a previous preview. They definitely entered the playoffs as the form team. They're 12 unbeaten in the league and have won 10 of those. So they're absolutely flying in that respect. But this is a game with a curious kind of subcurrent, because Quorn got a draw at Anstey. So in this 12-game unbeaten run, one of the draws was against Quorn, and it was a game that Quorn led twice before Anstey managed to get a point. And I scraped below the surface to see, well, how did they get on when they played each other in the United Counties League? Well, Quorn won at Anstey last season 1-0, and they drew there 1-1 the season before. So this fixture is one that Anstey have really battled to win in the past couple of seasons. So that might be something that's in the players' minds, certainly those who've been around both clubs for that length of time. So definitely keep an eye on that. I still make Anstey favourites because of the distance between the two and obviously the number of goals they've scored and how they've done. But I don't think it'll be a gimme.
And just to mention as well, I'd mentioned it moments ago, but the change of manager as well. I mean, we had Ant Carney on, the Quorn manager, a few months back when he started, and they went on a little bit of a good run of form at that point as well. And he's done a phenomenal job. He only signed for as a player last season, and there he is managing the side to playoffs. So fair play to Ant Carney as well. But big good luck to Anstey Nomads and Quorn on Tuesday night. And when we spoke to Tony in the past, you know, he's got more than one hat there at Anstey Nomads. And I'm pretty sure as well he's been delighted with the crowds at Anstey Nomads in the lead up to this playoff semi-final. Let's go to the other playoff semi-final. Harborough taking on Hinckley Leicester Road. Again, to carry on a theme, two teams promoted in 2022 out of the United Counties South. In that season, Harborough finished first, Hinckley Leicester Road finished second. It's an interesting one, though, isn't it, for Harborough? This is the elephant in the room. Without the points deduction, they would have won the league this season. I think Mitch Austin's cracking manager and will have implanted that idea that, you know, to the players, you know, this was our league title this year. This has to be our playoffs this year and now.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, their response to that being made public has been really encouraging. They've won twice, scored 7 goals without conceding. I've seen him on record in interviews saying that there were people at the club who were aware for longer this was coming. So obviously they had the charges a couple of months ago and then decided what they were going to do in response. But I'm not quite sure how aware the players were, but they've certainly managed this really well, how I seem to think from the outside. But yeah, it's going to sting because you look at the league table and you add the 6 points in there, the champions. So you can channel that in the right way, can't you? You kind of use that as a fuel. They've been so consistent since they came up to the Northern Premier League, and it feels like that would be kind of a natural next step for them to be rewarded with promotion, and they'll be thinking the same, I'm sure. A kind of whatever happens, they have had a fantastic season because they had that great run in the FA Trophy, didn't they, as well? And actually, going a bit further back, they played Tamworth in the FA Cup and pushed them really hard as well. Well, Tamworth have just won the National League North, so loads of memories this season. But they'll want to sign off with the biggest memory, and that's getting promoted. Again, Hinkley are another one of the teams we'll talk about in this episode who are celebrating their highest ever finish
Yeah,
in the National League system.
Neil Lyon's done a cracking job, hasn't he? And it's kind of
Fantastic.
just been there all the way. I mean, we mentioned this earlier, didn't we, about another team? But he's just been there, just solid as you like all the way through this campaign.
Yeah, that's what you want. And they too arrive in good form. They've only lost one of the past seven games, and that defeat was against Spalding, who you've mentioned have gone up as champions. They played them on Easter Monday and just fell short. But yeah, so they arrive at the playoffs in good form. They can use the fact that they're underdogs to their advantage, because Harbour will have this weight on them of, well, we need to find this route now to promotion. And if I was the visiting manager, I would definitely be using that to my advantage. So let's see how that pans out for Hinkley. They are underdogs. There was 15 points between these two, so a similar kind of theme to the Anstey and Quorn game. It feels like it's heading to an Anstey Harbour final, but we've watched non-league football for long enough to know that is not how the playoffs work out. So let's see what happens. But all four teams are trying to make history.
Yeah, big good luck to Harborough, Hinckley, Leicester Road, Anstey Nomads, and Quorn on Tuesday in that playoff. And just before we move away from the Midlands division, we do have to say as well, sending our best wishes to Tom Hayes and to everyone at Loughborough Dynamo. They've taken voluntary relegation. They've got a statement on the club Twitter feed and on the club website as well. But Tom Hayes, we've spoke to him this season. He's done a cracking job, and they bow out the highest place ever for that club. So, just sending our best to everyone at Loughborough Dynamo. Right, that's the playoffs at step four. Let's go to the playoffs then at step three and Tuesday night's games in the Northern Premier League, Premier Division. And let's start with Macclesfield against Worksop Town, because this is an interesting situation we're in here. Macclesfield have been second now for a good couple of weeks, realistically. And the teams that Michael Clegg have put out in recent games have demonstrated that, really. Worksop have had to work to get to fifth position where they are. This is going to be an interesting look at is form a good thing to have heading into the playoffs?
I think it's a great case study. I listened to you and Andrew Snaith debating this in the previous show, looking ahead to the weekend, and because Mac have had these two games now, haven't they, where they've made a lot of changes and have had back-to-back defeats. It's not hurt them remotely in so much it's not affected their position in the table. But there is now, this 10-day gap between his first team playing and then taking to the field for the promotion playoff semi-final on Tuesday. Now, to be clear, listener, I am certainly not going to sit here and tell Michael Clegg how to manage a football team. This guy knows what he's doing and deserves enormous credit for the work that he's done at Macclesfield already. If you take away the two defeats that they've had in the final week of the season, he's won 9 of the first 10 NPL games in charge. So, they've flown up from the fifth position that he inherited when Alex Bruce resigned in February, late February, I think it was, wasn't it? And taking them up to second with something to spare. So let's see if that approach is vindicated. Of course, the bigger picture is that Mac are seeking a third successive promotion, trying to fly up the National League system, aren't they, to be playing in the National League North next season. Worksop are also, though, targeting back-to-back promotions. And I think it's easy to forget that, yes, it's a name that we know, and if we've followed non-league football for a long time, our team has probably played against Worksop in the Northern Premier League. But this is actually the first time they've been back in the Premier Division in a decade. It was the 2013-2014 season was their last one. So to have made it into the top five on their first season back is a tremendous achievement. But you're spot on, it's been touch and go. And in fact, when they lost heavily 4-0 at Morpeth on April the 13th, not that long ago at all, they dropped to eighth. But they've recovered and won those last three games to sneak into fifth spot, helped slightly by Ashton dropping some points as well. And obviously, as we've touched on in the monthly show, Hyde were kind of marooned, weren't they? They ran out of games. But Worksop have made the most of that situation, and they've done it knowing that they were in a do or die situation. They, after the Morpeth defeat, they had to pick up the wins, and they've had some tough games. You know, winning away to Guiseley and beating Rylands are not easy games. Yes, they finished the job at Everton Coles, but they deserve enormous credit for doing what they've done. And you're right. So they then arrive now in the playoffs, very much match sharp, very much kind of battle hardened by having to win these all or nothing fixtures. So let's see how that helps or hinders them. Something else that I think is worth pointing out is that Worksop completed the double over Mac this season. They've beaten them home and away. Not many teams can boast of doing that. In fact, only two others can: Radcliffe, the champions, and Lancaster also did the double over Mac. So Mac will be wary of that. That Worksop are very much capable of beating them. Although they'll argue that this is a different version of Mac than maybe at least in one of those fixtures. Worksop's, I've touched on this a couple of times in the last couple of months. It shows that their away form has been significantly weaker than their home form this season. And in fact, easily the weakest of all the teams that are in the playoffs, their away form. That said, they've just won in that run to get over the line a couple of away games. So they've proven that they can do it. So let's see. Let's see. It's set up beautifully, this one. Mac, big crowd. They'll be favourites. But I don't make them massive favourites. Worksop will definitely have a chance.
And look at that. I mean, we'll do our end of season review in a couple of weeks' time, but look at that, 70 points to get to fifth, which is exactly what Berkey said,
Hey,
wasn't
it's not very
it?
often
No.
we get these things right. So let's milk it.
Macclesfield against Worksop Town on Tuesday evening. And as you rightly say, Simo, should be a massive crowd there at the Moss Rose as well. Big good luck to both sides. Marine against Warrington Rylands. We jokingly said last week, me and Andrew Snaith, I think Rylands might be disappointed they haven't finished fifth, given how good they are on the road. This isn't a foregone conclusion by any stretch of the imagination, regardless of whether you're home or away in this fixture. Credit to Marine. You know, at times they have dropped a little bit back, but they've been consistent, haven't they, Neil Young's side? They've had a phenomenal season anyway with the various cup competitions that they've
Yes.
been in. To finish third, I think is fair enough. Where having seen them, I think that's about right.
Yeah, I wouldn't argue with that. I think you used a great word, that consistency. Certainly since the turn of the year, they have been consistent, steady progress. And that kind of tallies with the bigger picture, that this journey that Marine have been on since Neil Young took charge for the pandemic. This kind of slow but steady but very visible year-on-year progression. And kind of a model really of how to do it. Stick, you know, identify your guy, stick with him, give him the tools to succeed. Of course, he gave himself some tools with the great FA Cup runs they've had, which have actually boosted the club's coffers. But the way in which they've even allocated that money, improving the facilities at the ground in Crosby, not just spending it all on footballers. So they very much are kind of a textbook example of how to do it. They do arrive at the playoffs in a really good moment. You touched earlier on the fact that they've retained the Liverpool County FA Senior Cup after winning the final. No team has collected more points than they have in the last eight Premier Division games. So that's something to think about. The only blemish, though, in that time, they lost to Rylands on Easter Monday. So they always used to kind of come back to a team that put a black mark on it. But and this is one of those games where, you know, I've mentioned home advantage a few times, but you touched on it in the intro. They're playing against a team that's had a formidable record on the road this season, and they just didn't. They just fell short of going the entire season. Rylands undefeated away from home is that agonising defeat against Worksop in their last away game. It doesn't take away from the fact that it's an astonishing record, and they won't be remotely daunted by having to play an away game. They'll feel a lot better getting a win on the final day of the season because they would have been going into it on the back of three defeats if they didn't stop a little mini Rot Rylands. So that will help them out. A common theme here: these two are trying to reach step two of the National League system for the first time. We've covered this many times, but Ryland's kind of trajectory, you know, they were playing in the North West Counties League as recently as 2021. We talked a lot about their debut season last year, finishing 10th. Well, they've built on that. And their campaign has been built on resilience because they've had knocks along the way. They lost their manager, Michael Clegg, to Macclesfield in February, but still managed to stabilise and carry on and finish the job. They've also been the managerial change recently, and they've still then bounced back again to finish the season with a win. So they made a stern stuff, this Rylands group, and they'll be a very difficult opponent for Marine, even if I do make Marine the favourites. I think Rylands also have a little advantage in that probably at the start of the season, if you looked at what the objectives would be for Macclesfield, for Worksop, for Marine, I think Rylands would have still have been the outsiders out of those four to go for promotion. And even though they've had a fantastic season, they maybe have a little bit less pressure than than the other three on them, and maybe they could use that to their advantage. But another real close call. I think it'll be a really close game on Tuesday.
Yeah, I think this is going to be an epic Tuesday night. Obviously, we already
Yeah.
covered the Step Four playoffs, but in the Premier Division, this is going to be a meter, isn't it? Really is. Macclesfield against Worksop, Marine against Warrington Rylands. Big good luck to all four sides. And of course, later in the week, we'll have a results roundup, and we'll also be catching up with Hebburn Town, of course, and Spalding United as well on their promotion success. But yeah, good luck, everyone. It's going to be brilliant, isn't it? I think on Tuesday.
Absolutely. I mean, if you could be in seven places at once, it'd be pretty handy, wouldn't it? But not spoilt for choice for games. I think you gave a good bit of advice earlier. If you have decided which game is going to be for you and there are tickets on sale in advance, make sure you get them because, a general theme this season has been increased gates in non-league. And so the demand to go and watch some of these games, particularly from fans of clubs whose season's over, they might still want to go and get a footy fix. There's going to be enormous demand to watch both the semi-finals and then even more so depending on who gets through to the finals at the weekend. So buy early to avoid disappointment if you are going to go and watch one of these games and enjoy, because I think it's going to be brilliant.
Absolutely. Well, Simo, a big thank you for joining us. I think you've already said where you're going. Runcorn Linnets, is it? City Liverpool for you?
Yeah, Runcorn Linnets Tuesday for their game against City Liverpool, and probably we'll be covering the West Division final at the weekend. That's TBC. I'd like to see it through after covering that division a lot this season, but let's see what the weekend brings. But yeah, for Tuesday, Runcorn and City Liverpool, I think, and I'm really looking forward to it.
And before you go, how can people follow you? Non-league musings, and because you're going to be tweeting a lot, I'm going to be imagining over the next week or so.
Yeah, definitely. So still going along on X, not made the move from there yet. It's at Simo underscore on underscore sports. So come join in.
Good stuff. Well, Andrew Simpson, a big thank you for taking the time out of your day to join us for this playoff semi-final preview special of the MPL show. You have a lovely week, and we'll catch up again very soon.
Nice one. Thank you, mate.
And a big thank you to Andrew Simpson for joining us on this special edition of the Pitching In NPL show. Big good luck to everyone in the playoff semi-finals on Tuesday evening. Just a reminder, later in the week, we will have our normal NPL show where we'll be catching up with the managers at Spalding United and Hebburn Town. And of course, looking ahead to the playoff finals this weekend. Remember, for all the latest goings on from the world of the Northern Premier League, you can visit the website www.thenpl.co. UK. But Tammy, Ben, and a big good luck on Tuesday night, everyone. You'll be hearing from us again on Friday. You take care. Bye-bye.